Major spoiler alert this time on the show.
What are our opinions on the first 5 episodes of Album 71?
How did we first start listening to Adventures in Odyssey?
John got Kevin McCreary on the Babylon Bee?
Why another Adventures in Odyssey podcast?
All that and more, this time on Adventures in Opinions. Hey everyone, welcome to Adventures in Opinions. My name's Jay.
And my name's John.
You might be wondering why another Adventures in Odyssey podcast.
Well, the answer is, there's no podcast with you and me. Not to suggest that we're narcissists, but hopefully we can add some thoughts and personality to the Odyssey podcast world that does not exist at this time.
So what's a good way to start a new Adventures in Odyssey podcast? Maybe we could talk about how we first started listening to Adventures in Odyssey first.
Great idea. So, Jay, how did you start listening to Adventures in Odyssey?
Well, I think the first episode I heard was The Mortal Coil, and it was a bonus feature on a DVD from one of the video episodes that I'd borrowed from the church library. And so I watched the video, and then in the bonus features, there was this audio only thing, and I didn't exactly know what it was. But later, when I listened to that episode, I realized I remembered it, and I must have heard it on that DVD.
How old were you when you first heard this?
Probably 6 or 5.
That sounds like a pretty traumatizing way to first hear about Adventures in Odyssey with The Mortal Coil.
Yeah, I didn't listen to the whole episode, that's for sure. How did you first start listening to it?
I don't really remember a time when I didn't listen to Odyssey. My grandparents had the episodes on cassettes, and then eventually we started getting CDs for our birthdays. But I think the first episode I remember listening to is The Case of the Secret Room, which also is a pretty scary one for younger listeners, but I didn't give up. I still listen to this day, as you can see with my presence on this podcast.
I think when I first really got into it was when I got the Blackguard Chronicles album from my aunt and uncle. Sent it for a birthday or Christmas gift, and I've listened to that album so many times.
When I was younger, we would get various albums for birthdays and Christmas and then check them out from the church library. But I think when I really got into it was when my grandparents got us the club in 2015. And then instead of only having like maybe 10 or 15 albums plus whatever we could get out of the church library, we had access to everything. And since then, I've done a couple about year-long marathons through where I'll listen to every episode in chronological order.
Yeah, I've never actually done that. And one thing, I have not listened to the Imagination Station Revisited because I'm saving it for a run-through of all of them in order.
That's funny because the last time I did a complete run-through of it, that was the one episode I skipped because I just listened to it recently outside of the marathon, so I was like, oh, I don't need to listen to this one again.
Yeah, that's what always happens to me when I try to listen to them all in order. I find, oh, I've listened to this album recently, I've listened to half of these episodes just the other day, and so I don't actually listen to all of them in order.
That would be a small issue unless you just are very dedicated and push yourself and say, I will listen to this even though it's maybe boring, which I may lack that dedication to listen to another episode soon after.
So when did you first listen to or read Adventures in Odyssey fan content?
I think it first began when I was messing around in the club forums and saw things that people were talking about, different Odyssey blogs. And I believe that's when I went to, it started with the Welcome to Odyssey blog. And then I would see different people commenting on there and eventually found AIO Audio News, and from there the whole world was opened up to me of Adventures in Odyssey blogs and podcasts and spin-off audio dramas. How about you? When did you first enter the large and niche world of Adventures in Odyssey fandom?
I think the first podcast I listened to was the Unofficial Adventures in Odyssey podcast. I was just searching for free episodes to listen to, and so I searched for it in the podcasts app on our family iPad several years ago, and I found a review of an album, and it was about the length of an episode, and so I clicked on it thinking it would be an episode, but it was just these people talking, and so that was a bit of a disappointment.
I expected a real episode, and it's just these boring adults talking about it.
Yeah. But then, after that, I don't know what the first would be. The Scoopcast, the AIO Wiki podcast, and the Ceiling Fan all kind of blur together for me. Because it was around the same time when I was listening to them. I think I listened to some of the Ceiling Fan before any of those, because I found that searching for Adventures in Odyssey, but it didn't actually look like Adventures in Odyssey, so I was curious what it was, because it just said the Ceiling Fan, and it didn't. I think Adventures in Odyssey was just in small print, and so I was curious to what it was, and I listened to part of an episode, and then later I listened to I don't know if it was the AIO Wiki podcast or the Scoopcast, but yeah, I listened to the AIO Wiki podcast, all the episodes that had come out, which weren't actually very many back then, and then I listened through the Scoopcast, all the episodes that had come out then, which are pretty much all that are out now still. And when I listened to the AIO Wiki podcast, that's when I first heard about AIO Audio News, and so I went there, and same thing, I found out about all the other things through there that I know about now. Except I think I had seen Wadfam Chalk Pod somewhere before.
I actually didn't start listening to the Ceiling Fan until last summer. I'd heard about it multiple times before and read about it on the AIO Wiki, but I never had enough interest in it to listen to it until last summer when we were moving, so I spent a good chunk of the summer packing and painting our old house before we moved. So I had all this time to listen to audio drama and listen through the whole, all 50-some episodes, I believe, in 6 days. And then bought the album and then the remix album. The Ceiling Fan is pretty great.
Yeah, so speaking of the creator of that, Kevin McCreary, you got him on the Babylon Bee.
Yes, I did.
Can you talk about how that happened?
Well, first of all, if you don't know who Kevin McCreary is, you can just stop listening right now. No, I'm kidding. But during that aforementioned period of time where I was painting the house and had all this time to listen to audio drama, I was also listening through a ton of the Babylon Bee podcast, which is, for those who don't know, the podcast by the Babylon Bee, which is a Christian satire site. And they had talked about how people could email in and suggest people to be on their podcast. So I sent in an email that said, "Hey, Kyle and Ethan, I love your show. You should get Kevin McCreary on your podcast. He has a YouTube channel, Say Goodnight Kevin, where he points out the flaws and problems with Christian movies today." And then I got an email back that day saying that they would check it out. And then over a year later, I see a video pop up on Kevin McCreary's YouTube channel saying that he was on the Babylon Bee. And I just about freaked out because I remembered that email that I thought had just been forgotten. And there he was on the Babylon Bee podcast.
And he even flew out from Nashville to the Babylon Bee. So this wasn't just an internet call you scheduled. You got him on a plane.
Indeed I did. And last time I checked, there were 300 or 400 new subscribers since before then, which I will gladly take credit for.
I think you can safely take credit for that, yep.
And for those who don't know, Kevin McCreary began and ran The Ceiling Fan, which was an Adventures in Odyssey spinoff audio drama.
Which he started in 2008.
And it ran until its untimely inactiveness in 2016. And then he ran The Scoopcast, which was a podcast for the website The Odyssey Scoop, which talked about Odyssey news and is now run by Michael Lefavre without Kevin McCreary, sadly.
Even though Kevin doesn't have to edit it, he doesn't appear on it anymore.
He's off to bigger and better things than that small, small audio drama by Focus on the Family that got him started in media.
Like the Babylon Bee podcast.
He also hosted The Inner Tube, which is a podcast he co-hosted with Josh Taylor of Blimey Cow, for all you homeschoolers out there, where they talk about content creation such as blogs, videos, and podcasts.
And donkeys. And a couple weeks after The Inner Tube started, he started his own YouTube channel, Say Goodnight Kevin, which is what we mentioned earlier, which is how he got on the Babylon Bee, because of that YouTube channel. He was also in my audio documentary, How Audio Dramas Are Made, which you can listen to at aiofb.org/documentary. Okay, I think it's time to get into some spoilers now.
Spoiler alert!
Album 71. Okay, so we're gonna skip talking about the team, I think.
We can avoid that for the sake of our own emotional and mental health.
Yep, plus there should be a podcast coming out soon with both of us on it, talking about that, from AIO Audio News. So, the first episode that we're going to talk about is actually going to be Higher Than Our Ways Then, and we haven't listened to Worth It yet, so if that has to do with this whole arc, we don't know yet how it ties in. So don't send us emails saying you missed this, because we don't know about it yet.
So first, we start off with the episode Christmas Bells, which was not in Album 71, but referenced the main story arc of Album 71. In the episode Christmas Bells, Wilson Knox talks about how he had a vision or message from God where he was told that one of three will fall. And in Higher Than Our Ways, he hears that Olivia, Zoe, and Emily are going on a ski trip and is convinced that one of them will be hurt and he needs to go with as a chaperone to protect them from falling.
What does he think he can do, though? If he thinks that God told him that one of them will fall, how is he going to stop that? Is he trying to stop that by going?
That's a good question, because you can't stand in the way of God's will. So if God told him that that's going to happen, then regardless of his plans to intervene, he can't do anything about it.
I thought maybe he was coming to help after the fact, but maybe part of him wanted to try to prevent it or to make it less bad or something.
Yeah, that's possible. I had kind of, there was a lot of speculation about who is going to fall in this episode, but I had kind of already figured out and beforehand who it would be, because it wouldn't make sense for it to be Zoe, because she's a lot more of a side character than the other two, and all we really see her is as Olivia's friend and Jay's crush. And then it wouldn't make sense for it to be Olivia, because she's already dealing with all the Maury stuff, and that would kind of cross over with Phil Lawler's story, and this is Marshall Younger's territory, so it only made sense for it to be Olivia.
Yeah, but when they did say Emily, it did cross in the episode when they said Emily was, something happened to Emily or something. Did they mention something like that in the episode for one of the cliffhangers?
Was it someone who like sprained something and had to sit in the health lodge or the ski chalet or something?
Oh yeah, I think that was Zoe though. Anyway, I thought that there was a small chance that it could still be Emily if Marshall and Phil Lawler had worked something out to cross their storylines over into each other, but it would be more likely to be Olivia or Zoe.
Yeah, I was a bit shocked when I knew it wouldn't be like a literal fall like Wilson was expecting. I expected it to be a spiritual fall, but then I was pretty surprised when they went from like someone falling to someone skiing down a hill and hitting a tree and dying.
Yeah, I know. I definitely didn't expect that, but it did make the parental warning at the beginning make sense. And since when did Chris do the warnings at the beginning? I think this is the first time that we've heard that, right?
I believe so. I don't think she carries the same weight or seriousness as, "Hello, I'm Dave Arnold, executive producer for Adventures in Odyssey."
Yeah, but it does make it fit into the episode a bit more. But I guess that's not a good thing if you want it to be more of a warning.
Yeah, I definitely prefer Dave Arnold over Chris doing the parental warning. But this is what we got, so we can't complain.
I'm liking this arc better than how the Rydell saga's been going recently, though.
Is there anyone who would disagree with you in that opinion? That adventure in opinion?
Maybe Riley Wheeler?
Possibly, and I know he'll be happy for that shout-out on the first episode of this up-and-coming podcast.
Yep, don't go follow him on Twitter, because he's not on Twitter anymore.
That brings us to the episode Triple Decker Sunday, where Olivia was asked by Wilson to share her testimony at church. I'm not sure if this is before the whole church on a Sunday morning, or like a youth event, or what exactly.
From the sound effects in that scene, I assumed it was the whole church.
Yeah, I just find that a bit strange, like a sermon on a Sunday morning, and then you're inviting like a 12-year-old up to share her testimony, maybe.
Oh yeah, and we did get confirmed that Olivia is in middle school, right? Which was quite a surprise to me.
Yeah, there's none of Odyssey Time is ever going to make sense, so I don't even try.
They did mention something about how old Camilla was in album 51, and then how old she was in like one of the 60s. So you could figure out a formula that things are supposed to make sense to, but they still wouldn't make sense.
Yeah, and then also in Met His Match, Olivia is 12 years old.
Oh yeah, I somehow always imagine her as more like 14, 13 at the youngest.
Yeah, she's probably written to be about 14 at this period in Odyssey Time, especially with this more serious arc that she's going through.
Yeah, okay, and since we're in Triple Decker Sunday, what did you think about Leonid showing up in her imagination?
That really brought me out of the episode. I didn't like that creative choice by Marshall Younger, because didn't seem to fit with the seriousness, just then having like this weird Russian guy talking in her head, which also brings up the logistics of it, because it is she telling herself all the stuff that it would fit historically for this philosopher to say to her were he alive at that time, or is it like something demonic, or but it's written comedic, which is makes it even more strange.
Yeah, I don't think it's demonic, because it's like played as a joke, kind of. But, I've wondered about how does it work? Is like this in a different part of her brain that has some old facts from history class stored away that she doesn't remember at the top of her head, because she seems confused by some of the things he says, or surprised at the things he mentions about 16th century Russia or whatever it was.
Yeah, that was definitely strange. And then we have her getting ready to share her faith before the whole church, but she was just going to be lying, so Zoe takes her place and goes out to share her testimony instead. And then it seemed like we ended the episode with her going off to be a glutton.
That was the weirdest rebellious moment I've ever seen in media, I think.
To be fair, this is Christian media we're talking about.
Yeah, I know, but in episodes like
Under the Influence?
Yes, Under the Influence. That was at least better with like the
car.
Yeah, the car part was better, but the skull earrings was a little bit laughable.
Scully.
At least not near. At least not as laughable as I'm getting a triple decker sundae.
Yeah, I'm gonna sin. I'm gonna go eat more ice cream than I should.
And they're always eating tons of ice cream at Wit's End, so does that mean...
Yeah, how rebellious is she if they eat ice cream every day at Wit's End?
Yeah, I think that's worse than, like, once a week getting a bigger ice cream to get a milkshake every day.
Yeah, maybe at Wit's End she's just getting, like, a small bowl of ice cream instead of a triple-decker sundae.
Yeah, and when does something cross the line to be too much ice cream?
That's a good question, because Wooten is definitely crossing that line every time he orders, like, the thing with pineapple and a scoop of ice cream and licorice whips and all that stuff. That sounds like a lot... I think they talk about it in the episode with Talia, where he's ordering a lot more than a triple-decker sundae.
For the fun of it?
Yeah.
Is that the episode? Yeah, that's a lot more ice cream than what I imagine the triple-decker sundae to be. I imagine it just three scoops of ice cream with some chocolate syrup and peanuts. And the way Leonid says, "Good choice, Olivia," and Olivia's like, "I thought so too, Leonid." I couldn't help laughing during that part.
And then I believe the ice cream parlor is named after me. That's my first cameo in Adventures in Odyssey. Because those who knew me when I was younger was JT.
Oh, yeah, it was JT's Ice Cream and Bakery?
I believe so. Which is an interesting name for an ice cream parlor. I believe people were speculating that this is the new Blackard's Castle in Odyssey, that's, or Novacom Kids Center, that serves as Wit's End's rival.
At least it's better than something more ominous sounding like Blackard's Castle.
Yeah.
It's more subtle. Except it doesn't seem like it's actually a bad place. They just let you buy lots of ice cream if you want to buy lots of ice cream. And
capitalism,
like,
and the free market.
Well, like you said earlier, Wit's End does the same thing.
Yeah, could she have bought a triple-decker sundae at Wit's End? Because then that begs the question why she would need to go to a different place, unless it was just to rebel specifically against Wit.
I think it's just to go to a... It's probably not a Christian business. Just to go to a non-Christian business, probably.
Yeah, and with that strange ending, it brings us to Set a Watchman, which I had guessed beforehand that it would deal with talking about Ezra when he says... or is it Ezekiel? Now I'm getting myself mixed up. When it talks in the Bible about how if the watchman warns the people, then the blood is on their head, but if he fails to warn the people, then the blood is on his head. And
yeah,
the episode is about... Olivia and Zoe going to Camp Whatnut for a winter retreat. They do a bunch of winter retreat type things.
And Zoe is trying to get Olivia to sit in the chapel sessions more and trying to force her to hear what she thinks she needs to hear instead of just talking with her like they eventually discuss doing. They discuss, I think... Connie tells her that she should pray and talk with her, right?
Yeah, and then Olivia gets it in her mind that that Zoe was going and, like, in a sense gossiping about her to other people, and gets angry at Zoe for what she did. And Connie basically reassures Zoe by saying that she did what she could and she has to leave the rest up to God.
Yeah. I think overall I liked this one better than Triple Decker Sunday, mainly just because of Leonid popping up like the chef in Ratatouille.
Yeah, that was... I still question why they did that. I think my favorite out of these three episodes so far is the Higher Than Our Ways, because I like the music in that one a lot. And then having the teacher die was definitely surprising and shocking at first, but I still liked the episode, and it served as a good base for everything else that has happened and will happen in this arc.
Yeah, I really liked the first episode best so far, too. It, at the beginning, there's hot chocolate jokes and stuff, but that's fine because it hasn't gotten too serious yet. And then when it transitions to the funeral and onwards, it's more serious. So, yeah, I like the scenes with Olivia at the funeral and talking to Miss Adelaide. And yeah, some people say...
It seems like Miss Adelaide is kind of reprising the role she had in The Ties That Bind at the beginning of it, where she's, like, trying to take kids and shove the liberal agenda down their throats. Or, not exactly, but she's definitely leading Olivia away from her faith under the guise of, oh, you need to think for yourself, which I would definitely not disagree with that being a fair picture of the public school system today, at least in the United States.
I actually thought that she did pretty well until Olivia pushed her, and then she broke and told about her own beliefs. She did well saying Olivia should not be talking to Miss Adelaide. Olivia should be talking to her parents or her pastor. She even mentioned Wilson as her pastor there. Not by name, I don't think. But she was at least trying to, or maybe just putting up a facade, I don't know. But she was pointing her in the right direction at first.
Yeah, and then after Olivia was like, kept pushing her, then she was like, oh, well, I can give you all these atheists who you can read about. And
but wasn't that an assignment anyway, to read those things?
Possibly. I haven't listened to the episode in 2 weeks. But it's possible. It just seemed like she was helping Olivia along in deconstructing her faith to a certain extent.
I think she was quite a lot different than in The Ties That Bind.
Yeah, she's not definitely not
so pushy. And she doesn't seem so villainy either.
Yeah, I don't think she's the same, but she's certainly taking that same role to in a less obvious or a less, I don't know. She's not doing it as harshly or as obviously as in The Ties That Bind. And to some extent, it's Olivia doing it to herself.
Yeah, I think Olivia would have found those kinds of ideas somewhere else anyway. And maybe Miss Adelaide shouldn't have kept on saying those things, but Olivia was pushing quite hard for it. But it still is Miss Adelaide's fault for, well, it's not her fault that Olivia made those choices, but it's Miss Adelaide should be held responsible by the school for breaking the rules.
Yeah.
It sounded like she was making quite clear at the beginning that it was against the school's rules for her to talk about her personal opinions on those kinds of things, but then she goes ahead and does when Olivia pushes a little bit more. Okay, so which album between album 70 and album 71 did you like better as a whole?
As a whole, I probably prefer album 71, but my favorite out of all of these 12 episodes is Unrelatable, because I just like the suspense and drama in that episode with Connie and Wooten and Jason and everything. But I still like, as a whole album, 71 better, because we start out with The Team and Please Adjust Your Frequency, neither of which I enjoyed a whole lot, but it gets a lot better after that.
I think if on both albums I would rate each episode out of 5 points and then add up those points, album 70 would have more points, if that makes sense.
That makes sense. Which episodes would rate higher?
I also like Unrelatable the best out of those. I think it does a better job of humor mixed with seriousness than Triple Decker Sunday. But Higher Than Our Ways did pretty good with mixing some humor in. Because for that episode, because of the age it's made for, you kind of have to tone down the seriousness a little bit and add some light parts.
Well, we did get the parental warning. I don't know if they don't always tone down the seriousness with humor, but they went for it here and it wasn't horrible, but it wasn't, I liked Unrelatable better. Although Unrelatable also didn't have a teacher morbidly crashing into a tree while skiing and killing himself.
But it did have a criminal showing up in Connie's house.
Oh, criminals show up in Odyssey all the time. It's like a criminal magnet. The perpetual criminal magnet.
It's like the center of the universe.
Every big corporation and evil mastermind who wants to take over the world has to come to Odyssey. It just, that's how it works.
Well, yeah, they've got to be there at one point because it's the capital of the world.
Of course it is.
Oh, yeah, random tangent. Do you agree that Odyssey is in Ohio?
Yeah, that's what they said during Family Portraits, and that just seems that they've written it to be in that location ever since then, to be in that general area. But they don't want to limit it by putting it, it in a state because that would alienate certain listeners, perhaps.
Well, I don't feel alienated anyway, even though I'm not American. It's just, it's a story about some Ohio people.
Ohioans? Is that how we say it? I'm not sure. I'm not from Ohio.
Yep, that's how we'll say it on this
podcast. The Ohioans of Odyssey.
Or Odysseans,
the as Ohioan
Regis
Odysseans.
Blackard would say. Okay. And I still haven't listened to Worth It, so I don't know if it'll be better than Unrelatable or not. But usually, a typical one-part Imagination Station episode probably won't be better than Unrelatable.
Probably not.
But I don't know what it'll be.
And this is the first Imagination Station episode we've got since David and Absalom, and which coincidentally also included Olivia.
Oh yeah. And it seems, speaking of Olivia, I thought the Parkers were being phased out, but now we've got this whole arc with
Olivia.
That's
what I thought too, because they've been changing actors so often, and now we just have Jason as Mr. Parker, not literally, don't send me an email, but his voice is almost exactly the same, it seems to be. But then it might be that that's why this arc is going so fast. We have like four episodes for it in the first album, as opposed to the Rydell Saga where we get like 11 episodes over 6 years.
Yeah, that was one. It was part downside to the Rydell arc, but partly it built up the hype.
The hype that was severely disappointed.
In Rydell Revelations Part 2.
Yeah. Maybe this is meant to be like a final arc, and then after this, they will be phased out. Or it will end like Mandy's parents' divorce arc almost ended, where left Odyssey, except this time they actually will. With the Parkers, they'll be like, Olivia needs a place where she can have a stronger faith than coming to Wits End every day, so we're moving.
Yeah, that's one thing that, just one of the things that annoyed me about the album 51 reboot, because they left storylines unfinished. I'm guessing Kelly's storyline will kind of be finished off in the Imagination Station Revisited, but as I previously established, I haven't listened to that episode.
Yeah, that's brings up the question that since we got Ed Washington back in the toy, what happened to their family, which I would hope that Ed Washington would come back, but I presume that's not going to happen based on just what they usually do to old characters. But they did surprise us with the toy, so maybe they'll surprise us again.
We got Marvin back in that
the basketball
episode. Yeah. So maybe Elaine and Tamika will be coming back too.
Well, the actor for Elaine died like a few years back. So I don't foresee Elaine coming back, which might be the reason they only brought Ed back. Yeah, I looked it up like 3 years ago.
Yeah. Witsend Connellsville is still going strong, apparently, though.
Yeah, Witsend Connellsville, which we hadn't heard since, like, Novacom Aftermath. And then we just got in the toy.
So does that mean the chairman will be returning?
Well, they
brought up a storyline.
Didn't they? They posted something about the chairman coming back on the club site where they post those comments from people, like feedback.
Yeah, they just pick people's comments that they like or something, and they put them on the main club page.
Maybe they're foreshadowing, but maybe not.
Yeah. Well, they brought Tasha back. They brought Ed back. They're not scared of bringing back old characters anymore, now that a lot of their even a lot of their new listeners know about the old characters because of the club. So I think that's a good side effect that the club had.
And the obviously horrible side effect was 6-episode albums, which we don't even need to get into here, because I could have a whole conversation about 6-episode albums.
Next time on Adventures and Opinions, 6-episode albums, good or bad? Okay, we've got an email from a reader of Adventures and Opinions.
Ooh, and fan mail.
Okay, she has 5 questions. Okay, so we already answered question number 1. When was the first time you listened to Odyssey, and when did you realize you really liked it? Okay, to hear our discussion about characters, which characters we like and which characters we don't like, go to aioopinions.com/001. Okay, now back into the main episode. If you didn't know, I made a website called FaceSpace, which is basically just what it sounds like, and it's down right now. You can see the post linked at aioopinions.com/001. There'll be a link to a post about FaceSpace, and I'm trying to fix it, but it's a project that's gone on the back burner right now with
the back burner right next to the old tea kettle.
Yep. Behind the tea kettle, in fact.
Right next to, you know, the steaming cauldron full of beef stew for supper tonight.
Yep. So, yeah, other things like the podcast, blog, and schoolwork and life have come in front of that. I've got an idea on how to fix it, and I will pursue it hopefully soon, but as of right now, FaceSpace is down. And one more quick thing, I'm taking an English class on analyzing children's literature. And so you might see some posts, not about Adventures in Odyssey specifically, but just about other children's literature on Adventures and Opinions. Let me know if you would like that, or if you'd like me to keep those things off of Adventures and Opinions.
If you want to email us like Rebel Day did, email us at questions@aioopinions.com. That's QUESTIONS at AIOOPINIONS.com, or to email me specifically, John at AIOOPINIONS.com, JOHN at AIOOPINIONS.com.
Yep. So if you want to email us questions or let me know whether you want to see other children's literature reviews and analyzing of it in general on Adventures and Opinions, you can comment on this post or email questions at AIOOPINIONS.com.
So we'll see you next time over the airwaves or the podcast app, whichever one. Oh, wait, we're not syndicated on radio.
Wherever you're listening.
Yet.
If you're listening on the website or on Anchor or on some other podcast app. And until next time, I'm Jay.
And I'm John.
For Adventures in Opinions. I'll edit that.